Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, worship team. And I want to say a special thanks to all of our media crew for the outstanding job that they do, not only for those of us that are here, but for those of you who are listening online. We want to thank the Lord for them. As I shared with you, your pastor sent me a text at about 6:45 this morning, and I want to tell you his humor is intact, so you know he's doing well. He basically said, David, I'm praying for you as you prepare to preach for the people today. And then he sent a follow-up saying, hopefully I didn't give you a heart attack, and actually you are the one that's preaching today. So he's doing well, looking forward to being back with you soon. When the invitation was extended to me as to the opportunity to preach this morning, I just asked Daniel McGinty. I said, Daniel, what have you been preaching on? And he said, we've been focused on a series, generally speaking, navigating through tough times. And I said, oh my goodness, that sounds extraordinary. Let me see if I can fold in and follow in with that. And so this Sunday and next Sunday, we're going to be looking at biblical strategies for difficult times. And as Daniel often does, he always comes up with just the amazing graphics for it. You see the individual with the backpack walking through what looks to be the Red Sea and the sea parting. And we're for the next 2 weeks, going to be looking at Exodus chapter 14 and Exodus chapter 15. And so if you want to do a little study ahead, you read that chapter, Exodus chapter 14, Exodus chapter 15. If you're not familiar with the story, generally speaking, the children of Israel, God's chosen people, have been in bondage in a situation where they have been slaves to the Egyptians for 400 or so years. They are now released from captivity as a result of 10 amazing plagues. They're heading out into the wilderness with the thought in mind that they're going to be in this promised land that God has promised to them. They haven't gotten many days out of Egypt, and they find that the Egyptian army is coming after them. Wow! To have prayed all those years, all those generations for God to deliver you, for you to get out of this tough situation, and then seemingly the tough situation seems to follow you. Now, sometimes we have or are in a difficult situation because we've made a bad decision or because our lifestyle is a lifestyle of sin. But sometimes we are in a difficult situation even though we're following God's direction. And so this morning we're going to be looking at being in a difficult situation even when we're walking with the Lord. We live in a fallen world, and sometimes there are difficulties that, as no result of our own problems or difficulties or bad decisions, we're just a part of. So what are some biblical strategies for navigating these tough times? Years back, I came across a book entitled The Red Sea Rules by Robert Morgan, and it's a great little book, one of those little pocket kind of versions, that talks about biblical strategies for dealing with these difficult times, and so some of that comes to bear in what I share with you this morning. So point number one, thought number one, strategy number one, be more concerned for God's glory than for your relief. Look what it says in verses 3 and 4 of Exodus chapter 14. Uh-oh, they're going to make me open my Bible and find it here. And nope, there it is. Thank you. Pharaoh will say of the Israelites, they are wandering around the land in confusion. The wilderness has boxed them in. I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them. Then I will receive glory by means of Pharaoh and all of his army. The children of Israel are wandering around. God says the Egyptians are going to come, and as a result of this, I'm going to receive glory. I mean, that's probably a novel thought for many of us. We're going through hard times, and rather than looking toward my relief, how can God give glory, get glory in this situation? Our natural instinct, I think, leads us down a threefold path. How do I get myself out of this mess? Secondly, how quickly can I solve this problem? And then thirdly, why did this have to happen to me? And I think these are natural responses for us to have, but let me suggest to you that maybe we ask a different question. What if we, in facing difficult times, were to ask this question? How, God, can you be glorified in this situation? How, God, can people see you working and moving in this situation? How, God, can I give testimony that you, in fact, have this under control? In fact, in doing that, we change the focus of our attention away from us in our situation onto God receiving glory. I love the story in John chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. The disciples and Jesus encounter a man who is born blind. And the tendency, even back then as it is today sometimes, is to when we come across a difficult situation or a thing that's outside of the ordinary, to maybe blame it on sin. Not always the case. Listen to the story, John chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. As he went along, Jesus, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." The works of God might be displayed in him. Psalm chapter 50 and verse 15 say these words, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me." The Lord doesn't always deliver us from our problems in the way that we want him to, but he does it in his way and in a way that provides for him glory. Now imagine when we're dealing with difficulties and our focus shifts from our convenience to God's glory. And as I read scripture and as I have stories that I come across, I find that one of the strategies, one of the biblical strategies for navigating tough times is to be more concerned for God's glory than for my relief. The second thing, the second strategy that I would encourage you to bring into play is this: acknowledge your enemy, but keep your eyes on the Lord. Acknowledge your enemy, but keep your eyes on the Lord. Listen to what it says in Exodus chapter 14, verses 5 through 9. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about the people and said, "What have we done? We have released Israel from serving us." So he got his chariot ready and took his troops with him. It's coming. He took 600 of his best chariots and all the rest of the chariots of Egypt with officers in each one of them. Imagine what it's like if you're the children of Israel and you're leaving out and you're seeing this huge herd of people coming after you. This massive military army coming after you. It says, going on in that passage, "The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the Israelites who were going out triumphantly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and his horsemen, all of them are pursuing them." Now, they could have focused their attention on the enemy that was coming, or they could focus their attention on the Lord. And as you recall from the story, the Lord does an amazing and interesting thing. It literally defies everything that we know about nature. He provides for them a pillar of cloud by which they are to be led during the day, a pillar of fire that is to be something that leads them by night. And the Lord places these two clouds, these two pillars between the Israelites and the Egyptians to protect them. And what I'm suggesting to you is that when we're dealing with difficulty, when we're dealing with hardship, let me encourage you, rather than focusing on the enemy, what he wants to do, let's focus on the Lord. Charles Spurgeon said, "The great tyrant has not forgotten you, and he designs your capture and re-enslavement." John chapter 10 and verse 10 say these words, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the fullest." James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Paul writes in his letter to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6, these things happened as examples for us. Literally, the Apostle Paul says that the full counsel of Scripture was written so that you and I, even in these days in which we live, can look back and see God's work and God's hand. The purpose of Scripture, the purpose of all of these stories, not only is to communicate us of God's goodness, but that God will provide in the future. Satan often pursues us with the intensity of Pharaoh. He may use your friends, he may use your family. He may discourage you, he may entice you or tempt you. But folks, as we're dealing with difficult times, if our attention is focused on the Lord. Now people often ask me, they'll say, well, how do I put my attention on the Lord? Well, spend time reading his word and reminding yourself of all that he's done. Spend time in prayer. How about spending time in worship? For those of you who are listening online, you say, well, it's kind of difficult for me to worship when I'm not there with the overall group. Well, I tell you, there is nothing better than to get a playlist of worship songs. And whatever you're doing throughout the day, just allow yourself to worship God and to be encouraged by him. The third strategy, and by the way, I need to go ahead and let you know that these are not in any particular order. And those of you who know me know that I have a great love for prayer. But point number three, strategy number three, is to pray. Look what it says in verse number 10. It says, when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes and saw the Egyptians coming after them. Then the Israelites were terrified and cried out to the Lord for help. Cried out to the Lord? That's prayer. When you find yourself in a difficult situation, let me encourage you to focus that attention, all that energy, into prayer. Matthew Henry has said it this way, their fear set them to praying, and that was a good effect for their fear. God brings us into straits that he may bring us to our knees. David writes in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 7, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God, and he heard my voice. James chapter 5 and verse 6 say these words, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and wonderful results. Strategy number three, pray. Often people will tell me, you know, I don't feel very comfortable praying. And I tell them, I said, it's a conversation. It doesn't have to take place in a particular room. It doesn't have to take place in a particular position. Kneeling is great, but if you can't, that's fine. I think prayer is simply a communication with God. One of the things that Julie and I have so appreciated about the coronavirus time period is the time that we've had together, either in the morning or the evening, to walk together. This morning, we got up early and walking through our neighborhood, just praying and seeking the Lord. Strategy number three is prayer. Strategy number four, stay calm and confident and give God time to work. Stay calm and confident and give God time to work. Now, how many of you, well, don't raise your hand. Just kind of smile with me under your mask. How fun is this? Any of you just great waiters? Just going, no problem, Lord. Just take all the time you need. I'm fine. Got a little extra time anyway. No. Most of us, man, we're ready right now. But I want to suggest to you that we wait. Listen to what it says in verses 13 and 14 of how that the Israelites were to stay calm and confident. But Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. Stand firm and see the Lord's salvation he will provide for you today. For the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You must be quiet. Now, can you imagine this massive group of people being chased by the Egyptians? Your leader says, hey, listen, don't be afraid. God's got this. Now, when I read this story, there is something within me that so wants to know, Moses, did God tell you this? Did God tell you exactly what was going to happen? And my thought, reading further on into the passage, is that Moses was just a great man of faith. He was a great man of faith, and he knew somehow, some way, God was going to do it. And the reason I say that is because when he gets to the edge of the Red Sea, God has to tell him to take his staff and kind of wave it across the water. So it suggests to me maybe Moses didn't have earlier instructions. Maybe he did. I don't know. It doesn't change the story. But when we're dealing with difficult times, if we would be calm and confident that God is going to work, I tell you, that patience that we exhibit, I think, will be a great testimony to others. Hudson Taylor said it this way, I am waiting on thee, Lord, to open the way. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 29 and 31. Do not be terrified. The Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you. Later on in Deuteronomy 31, 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you, nor will he forsake you. And I love what Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said. Listen carefully. He says, I don't care what the circumstances may be. The Christian should never be agitated. The Christian should never be beside himself or herself. The Christian should never be at wit's end, should never be in a condition in which he or she has lost. It implies a lack of trust and a confidence in him. Imagine in our relationship with the Lord that we had a calm confidence that the Lord was going to show up in his way, in his time, and for his glory and for our good. Strategy number 5, don't forget to praise him. Don't forget to praise him. Chapter 15 is an entire song praise to God for what he's done. I want to encourage you to read it this week. And I want you to think about something that has really been on my mind, especially this week, as I've been studying this passage. How many songs of praise have I written to the Lord for all the things that he has done for me? I teased the praise team before we got up. I was just so honored to just be close to them. I am not your praise worship kind of team member. Maybe carrying the stuff around, but not on the team. But these folks were so overwhelmed by God's goodness that their praise came out in this song, and you can read it. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that your testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, wash your face every morning in the bath of praise. God expects our gratitude for his deliverance. And then finally, number 6, be thankful. Be thankful. I think the remainder of this chapter, verses 3 and following, or 3 and through the end, really speak to their thankfulness to God. There's a verse of scripture tucked away in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, and it says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your request or present your request to God. I think thanksgiving is literally pivotal to those strategies of dealing with difficult time. In fact, I so think that praise and thankfulness is a part of those strategies that next week we're going to develop those a little bit more as we add a couple more strategies to the mix. Now you say to yourself, David, my goodness, Exodus chapter 14, Old Testament, long time ago. I think that story in and of itself is so impacting that God, in his great sovereign way, chose to recognize it again in Psalm chapter 136. If you can turn there quickly, turn with me. If not, I'll read for you. Psalm chapter 136, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. That's verse 4. Now listen to verse number 10. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, his love endures forever. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, his love endures forever. And brought Israel through the midst of it, his love endures forever. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the great sea, his love endures forever. I want to suggest to you this morning that the Lord's love endures forever in your life and mine. And just like he led this great mass of people through this difficult time, the Lord is ready to lead you through the difficult circumstance of your life. So let's review. Be more concerned for God's glory than for your relief. Acknowledge your enemy. Know that the enemy is there to come after you, but keep your eyes on the Lord. Pray. Stay calm and confident and allow God to accomplish in his time. Praise him and be thankful. I hope today that whatever difficult situation that you're going through, that you would implement, that you would put into practice some of these strategies. Again, as I shared with you, none of these are in any particular order. I think they all enhance God receiving the glory when we trust in him. Maybe this morning there's a decision that you need to make. Maybe you're covered up, so to speak, with an issue in your own life. I hope as you leave, because we won't in this sanctuary have an opportunity for you to come forward for a decision, that you would find someone on your way out that you could say, would you pray for me or would you share with me? If you're watching online, there's going to be a number that's going to come across the bottom of the screen, and we would be ecstatic. We would be honored for you to call or to text us to give us an opportunity to pray with you in whatever you're dealing with in your own life. But I want to conclude this portion of our service with a time of prayer, and then our worship team is going to come. And during this time, allow the Lord to speak to you as to any kind of response he would have of you. Will you pray? Lord, I thank you and I praise you for stories like the children of Israel being led out of Egypt. Father, I would ask that in our own life, God, we would enlist some strategies, some biblical strategies for handling those difficulties, those hardships, those situations. God, you have promised that you will go before us, that you will, God, take care of and handle those things in our life. God, maybe today we need to release those situations to you. And God, rather than trying to handle them ourselves, to allow you to handle them. You are our Father. You love us greatly. And so, God, because of that loving kindness, that even as we read in Psalm 136, that endures forever, may our trust, may our hope be in you. Father, teach us, show us, lead us as to how we should respond today. It's in your mighty and precious name we pray. Amen.